Hey, I'm Rob from Mousesports, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite eSports podcast. Episode 94 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, February 28th, 2018. The time, 5:40 p.m. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Hello, how are you? Alongside me, as usual, we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, guys?
And we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Why, hello.
This is the Center Ring in its natural habitat, as I might say. We are back in our podcast form, where we belong, right? I mean, well, don't get me wrong. I'll take a radio show, but we are not live, if you haven't noticed. So last week we were able to do a live show on The Ticket, but that doesn't mean episode 94 will not be the best episode ever. No, 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 because we will have e-news as usual to end the show off. We are going to discuss some Overwatch League. Stage 2 happened. I don't want to try being a Dallas Fuel-centric show, but albeit it is the big story now and how they're performing so far. So we'll talk some Dallas Fuel. And to start the show off, I want to talk a little bit of ESL Katowice going on for CSGO. And, you know, touch on some news stories there. But first, before we get into that, let's pimp out our social media, because that's what you do in this business. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Hit us up in our Discord. The link is all there. And on our website, tcr.gg, of course, you can see everything there. And if you are a listener who's coming over from, you know, maybe last week when you heard us on the radio, or we interviewed Mike, the owner of Dallas Fuel, and Team Envious last week. So that, you know, brought in a lot of new listeners, or at least hopefully it did. Hopefully you enjoyed it and you want to stick around. Just to kind of give a reminder, right? We are The Center Ring. We do a weekly podcast on esports, everything esports there. So again, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring for anything that, you know, updates or anything like that. So let's get into ESL 1 Katowice for Counter-Strike, shall we, gentlemen?
Let's
do it.
There we go. That was good teamwork right there. I like that.
Wow, yeah, synergy, man. We're starting the show off on on point. So
it's like we're finishing each other's
sentences.
Oh, there we go. So I said ESL 1. It's not an ESL 1 event. It's an IEM event.
I was going to correct you. I didn't want to be that guy.
No. Hey, correct me. You know, if I'm wrong, correct me. The worst you could do is you get suspended from the show. But
I can't afford that pay cut.
I'll take away a paycheck. Don't make me do it.
I got a mouth to feed.
So this is an IEM event, meaning it is one of the ones where if you win, you get a little check on the board for the big, like, $1 million or something, right? Remember when that was announced a couple months ago and everyone was so hyped for it? How quickly we just stopped caring about that. Does anyone even...
Yeah.
Do you remember the rules?
It was, like, first to win 10, right?
No, I thought it was just, like, 4 or something like that, right?
Or 4. First to win some sort of number and you got a lot of money for it. Well, they don't put any... I mean, I haven't seen any, like, pub on it or anything. It's not like they've been pimping it out, right?
Maybe they don't have the money.
So they're not really keeping track.
Maybe
they forgot the score.
Maybe it has something to do with, I don't care about another person winning $1 million, like, for winning so many games.
Maybe it's ESL doesn't have the money, so they're hoping we all just forget about it.
There's just so much that goes on within Counter-Strike from week to week, to different tournaments, from Star Ladder to Blast Pro to this and to that. I mean, there's just so much to keep up with that I don't even understand when I'm sometimes watching like an Intel-based event. I mean, yeah, you know, but you kind of forget from week to week just because it just becomes a little blurry with the amount of Counter-Strike that's played.
Yeah, you watch Counter-Strike and you're like, what event is this? Let me just look at the subject. Oh, okay. There you go.
And then
I remember now.
Then you'll decide if you care about it or not and if it really matters to how you feel like, on the team
really
standings.
With CS, unlike Overwatch, like I just look for the good matchups in there. We're Overwatch, we all know, we're kind of Dallas fans. Like that's our team, you know, and we're going to root for them. So, but with like Counter-Strike, I'm just looking for good matchups most of the time. It's not even much of a favorite team anymore. It's just what teams are hot, what teams are playing well. Let me find a good matchup. Let me watch it. I don't care if it's in the upper bracket, lower bracket, third place match. Like, I just want to see the good teams play.
So I do want to talk then some about the matchups or just some of the teams that have already left, right? We're in the middle of this tournament. So playoffs start this weekend. So, I mean, we're kind of in a weird spot where we can't really break down a few or everything about the tournament so far. But I do want to bring up that this is, we see Avangar here, right? They were kind of the favorites at the major, right? Where they ended up getting a little too far than what everyone thought they were going to be. So now they're all invited to these events and or they're at least qualifying for the events. I'll give them the credit. Yep. They weren't invited to this one. They qualified and quickly got destroyed. They lost all their games.
At least they still have PUBG. They won that event, so there you go.
Yeah, but is it any worse than you know, VP's exit? It's kind of the same thing. Like, we can bang on Avangar and say whatever, but they weren't expected to do much. And now VP keeps getting invites to these events, right? So it's not even like they're having to qualify. And I mean, isn't it kind of time that they stop getting some of these free passes to come to these sorts of events?
You wonder when that time is going to come, though, right? Like, even with Michu now, it's like I saw something on Reddit where, like, their pistol rounds is atrocious ever since they got him. Now, I'm not blaming him by any means. Don't get me wrong. And they're still young with that roster. I mean, isn't this one of the first? Star Ladder. They had Star Ladder last week. So we'll touch on that in E-News. But this is like the second or third tournament already with Michu in their lineup. And it's not looking good. And with Counter-Strike being the world it is, where your leash is so short, right? You wonder what will be the next guy to fall on that roster. But I agree with you, Anuj. I think it's time that we stop inviting Virtus Pro.
You just can't get that free pass every time. I get it here and there, like maybe if it's a tournament in their hometown, but other than that, I don't see any reason that they deserve that invite spot. They did at one point, you know, so it's just...
Papa just brings all the organizers together. Like, I mean, they just want him. Like, he's... I don't know.
Do you
well,
think
look
it's...
at him. He was minus 22 with a 0.57 rating, doing under 50 ADR in the best of three match versus Heroic. He was by far the worst player out there. And so, I mean,
so are they only getting, they're clearly only getting invited for like the respect of the name, right?
Yeah.
Like these organizers aren't inviting
players
them.
Are left.
Yeah. Like you're not inviting Virtus Pro to these teams because you think that they're just on, you know, a down spell and anytime they'll turn it around. I mean, they are getting on, you know, Mythic level of bad, I think.
Oh, man. Shots fired at Mythic.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
You wouldn't say Mythic. Okay, how about they're on Mythic level good? How about that?
Okay, there we go.
Is it that different?
All right, I like
basically, they're falling to a tier two team. They're out
yes.
of pro league.
There you go.
You know, they haven't won a big game in a while. They don't even seem to be overly competitive. I mean, I know the game against G2 wasn't too bad, but it still didn't, you know, you never felt like G2 was going to lose it. And so I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do from here. They have to kind of, I think they're just going to have to revamp. I mean, they have Neo and Pasha, two players that are fairly inconsistent. You know, they just have to make more changes. This is not going to be a team
so
that goes much further than this.
They're kind of like SK though, right? Where they've kind of shoehorned themselves into this Polish pool of players, right? Like, I don't think you're ever going to see them go for a non Polish player, and that's just because it's what they're known for, right? On the CSGO side anyways, of the organization. So it's like they have such a small pool of players. Like Michu was the player to pick from the Polish side, you know, from the Polish scene. And so like if this isn't going to work out, where do you go from here? It's not like SK where you can basically pull from any Brazilian farm system that was already branched off of SK in the first place.
Poland should just take over some more territory, get some more population. What else can they do? They don't have enough people over there to like farm and breed. I don't know. I mean, I guess that can't be too much it because there's a bunch of other small countries that do it, right? So with them is they're going to have to go outside of their pool. I mean, they all speak English, don't they? Fairly well. I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think.
I mean, I've watched Pasha's
I don't think
streams,
you can use that as an excuse really anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not asking to have full blown conversations, right? But I mean, as far as just the basics of, especially when it comes to the basics of Counter-Strike, right? You don't need to know English. You just need to know how to talk Counter-Strike.
Like, yeah.
You can figure out the rest. We've played games with, you know, even in matchmaking with people who don't speak any English, but, you know, my God, when they say long, I know where they're talking. I know what they're talking about. So it's, I don't think as language is, you can't use that as an excuse in 2018. It's just not possible.
There's too many international teams.
Yeah.
They just have to make it work out. I mean, they're going to have to make more changes. Like I said, with them, I just don't see it getting much better. We have seen some really good games, obviously, outside of the nonsense that we've seen with them. I mean, I don't know if either of you got a chance to catch the Astralis SK matchup, but that was
another one that
lived up to the hype, you know? Yeah.
That was a really good one, and it even had drama attached to it where the infamous alt-tabbing situation, which is apparently not just happening to SK, as much as I would love, and if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know, it doesn't take much for me to call out SK and their BS. But it does seem like it's a legit issue where, like, these computers at the tournament are alt-tabbing on people, and supposedly it's some type of bug with Counter-Strike and possibly NVIDIA or a driver in the computer where it's just closing out the game. It's minimizing it, so you just have to open it back up. They're claiming that this is what happened with Cold Zero at a clutch situation on Mirage where, man, it could not have been worse timing. He peaks connector on A site the moment he peaks. Like, the nanosecond that he turns that corner, you just see him stop moving, and then I forget who, but someone on Astralis, I think it was Glaive.
Yeah, somebody on Astralis was coming over there on Cat.
Just
or
peaks
Cat
right at the same time and just domes him without competition.
Couldn't have been any worse.
It was it was pretty awesome timing.
Maybe it's Russian hackers.
That's what it is. It's one of those things where it's like, and then Elise
tweeted
out.
That was an overtime
out.
Also, just yes. So you know. So that was like,
this was
couldn't
like,
have been any worse because it was like a pure clutch moment that I think they had a 4v2 in that situation. And he went, or maybe it was, no, I don't think they tried to actually take that back. But yeah, they had the advantage based on where the plant was and where they were.
No, I think you're right. And I think it was like a 3v2. I mean, it was,
yeah.
And they had sight.
The second cold went down, they lost that mid control. You know, Glaive or whoever it was able to push up and they just cleaned up and took the round. But that was an incredible game.
And
Elise, really crappy moment.
Elise tweeted out saying that it happened to him too. Just not at a, you know, not a bad timing like that.
Yeah.
It's
unfortunate. Like, there's no honor system or anything like that. Like,
I mean, how would you know though? I mean, literally, if you watched the video, it was instant. Like, the second, it's not like, I mean, it was instant, dude. Apparently it alt-tabbed him out. And then right at that moment, he peeked the corner and then got shot. There's no way.
They said it in game on the in-game chat. You know, they said it in there right as it happened.
Right. But even then, though, like I'm saying, there's no way Glaive would have had any clue, right, to stop what he was doing. That you're not looking at chat at that moment.
And what we don't want to do here is we don't want to take away from Astralis because Astralis played fantastic.
It was not that one game that made it.
Yeah, they won the previous match 16-12. Device looked like an all-star in that game. Majisk, you know, looked good. He had 21 kills. He was a solid player for them. And then that kind of carried over into Mirage. Obviously, you know, aside from that play, there was like a dominant first half by Astralis. I think, what was it? They were up 12-3 and lost it on the CT side. Their T side. So they played really well. They had a moment of lapse there, obviously, but they were able to do it in two consecutive games and keep up with SK. So it was good to see them back a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like they've been on the struggle bus, Device especially. Yeah, so it's good to see them, you know, back in the mix and playing well.
So now you have Astralis playing Team Liquid tomorrow. Team Liquid got there by beating Gambit 16-10, and then they ended up defeating Cloud9 2-0, which really was not even, in my opinion, a close 2-0 game. I don't know. I don't even know what I should talk about first. Should we talk about how Team Liquid is actually looking really good now that they have their full-time roster in play? Or should we look? Or should I talk about how Cloud9 has just been awful since winning the major?
We can start with Cloud9 because that'll be relatively quick, right? Like with them, it's just they needed to win Inferno in that match because they started off so well. And I mean, put a pooper out there on the T side. I think they won one round on the T side, and it was just morale was done. I mean, this hangover seems to be lingering longer than people would hope. I think we all knew there would be some sort of hangover, right? I mean, after that emotional win in the major, there was going to be some hangover, but now you're losing like in big tournaments. You haven't looked good. You know, you didn't look good in Summit. You know, haven't really looked good. It didn't really look good at Star Series. And now again, here they're playing what, SK for an elimination game at this point.
And that major was only a month ago, though. Yeah. Like, you think, like, you just mentioned, like, three tournaments, right? That major was only a month ago. So you want to talk about how little downtime they have between, they won the major, and it was seriously, like, 2 days later on a plane back to California, you know, to like, and not to go home and hang out. It was to go do another tournament. So, and then they went to Star Ladder, and they were really bad at Star Ladder.
It's a lot of travel now, too, at this point in that 1 month.
Yeah. Because
now you're kind of going back and forth. And every player has to deal with it. But not every player is also coming off of a major win that was, you know, an unexpected, such a high, you know, in NA. It's not surprising to see them do bad, but they need to.
Do you think it's more like just a sigh relief and they can just, like, they're playing on house money? And it's like,
I think
we
it's
can
still
coast,
at that
or
point,
do you think
man.
They want to be the best?
No, I don't want to use the major or like a hangover or anything like that as an excuse. But if you're watching their play, it's not like one person is just doing poorly or anything like that. You know, it's not one bad thing is standing out. It's just as a whole, the team is playing poorly, right?
Well, and Automatic said it after Star Series. He said it that they just came in there with low energy. And so Cloud9 has to be the, you know, aggressive team. They need to have that same underdog mentality when they're playing, I think, to be successful. And so they need to have that grit going into these matches, and they just seem to lack it right now.
Yeah, I don't. I think time will just fix it, man. I
do too.
I really think it's just they've had. If you look at their last 4 weeks, you know, it's just been an insane 4 weeks. And to be honest, if you told any of these teams or any fan base, hey, you can win the major, but you'll look terrible your next three tournaments, I think anyone will take that, right? So they're still in a good position.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but then on the opposite side, right, you have the other North American team here where Team Liquid now finally, right, they've played in a few tournaments now with their full roster, and, man, look pretty good. Looking pretty good with Steel and Naf in that roster.
Dude, Naf looks great, doesn't he? I mean, he's really just been, he's been a top fragger for them in almost every match he's been in. He's making clutch plays. His ADR is insane. I mean, I think he almost hit 100 one match. He was what? Let me just, yeah, he did. He
How many?
103.3 and then 98. So, I mean, he is so heavily involved from round to round.
How many tournaments has he played with him? It doesn't feel like it's been that
for
long
Naf,
at all.
This is only his... Was third, he at Summit?
That's what I was going to say. I think he...
Oh, he was at Summit. So this is his third.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but
they,
Naf was just able to transition over. I mean, from that move from Net Renegades and just fitting into this lineup and fitting in two new players, right? With Steel also and Nitro taking on a new role completely. So it's almost like three new players in the lineup for them because JDM's just been on the op forever. So to see them look this good this early, that's scary, man. Like,
and maybe that's working out in their favor, right? The fact that it is almost three new roles, if you want to look at it that way. The fact that they're not trying to just fit one piece into the puzzle, right? It's, hey, we have, it's really the majority of the team is working on something new. So let's take this moment and completely revamp the way we're playing, right? Nuge, you might know it. I mean, did Steel pick up the IGL?
Yeah, so Nitro's on the up, and Steel
just
is
right. Okay,
is in-game
so right from
leader.
The get-go, he did pick up in-game leading for him.
Yeah, I mean, and no reason for him not to. He's was great, you know, at Immortals with it, led that team to heights that they never thought they would achieve. You know, coming in second place at the major, losing to Gambit, So for him, he's comes in with big game experience. The dude's basically been to a Super Bowl at this point. And the two players that are have been kept in their roles and tweaked a little bit here and there is Elysian Twist, two of your star players. So they've found a really good mix here, and they're going to be exciting for some time. And I'm glad to see that, because now we have two NA teams that have top five talent.
Yeah, that could compete in a major legitimately and not be bounced out in, you know, like a group stage or what have you.
Yeah.
Are you guys talking about Liquid and the Detroit Renegades?
Yeah, right. The Detroit Renegades.
The two teams
of Australia.
No, so Cloud9 actually bounced Renegades today. So let's go on to Group B, though, because you had some, you know, you had some. Group A is a little juicier for me, in my opinion. I think you have the better matchups in Group A, but Group B still has something to offer. You got FaZe and North there. North is now playing the losers against Heroic. And then this is your guys' baby boy. You have Ninjas playing G2 for an elimination game.
I don't feel confident about that at all. To be honest.
You know, Nip didn't look great against North. Now, one thing I'll give Nip is I'm excited about the Dennis pickup. I think Dennis is a very good player. I think he can fit into that lineup well. I think he can fit into any lineup, you know, pretty well. And so maybe giving them a little bit of time will help. It's, you know, again, they got two young guys and three vets on that team. So they have a good mix, and we'll have to just see what they do. They didn't look good in their first matchup.
Like the way of the world now. Like three vets, two, you know, up-and-comers.
I mean, that's what happens, though, when you're... I was going to say, I mean, that's just the build-up, though, right? I think people have... Or at least where we're at now in the CS scene is that when you are making roster moves, it's so rapid, right? So it's like you pick up one guy, and then if it's still not working out, well, then you'll drop another kind of veteran player to pick up another one, right? You see that, I mean, Cloud9 did that when they dropped Shroud and nothing, right? It was, they dropped two of their big guys, picked up two new ones, and I think it's just easier to work that in rather than trying to just add one, right? I think we've learned that it's not just one thing missing from a team. If you're struggling, you kind of need to pick up two and kind of revamp your style.
So when was the last time we've seen Get Right be Get Right?
I think there was like one tournament in there, but I mean, you have, you know, those tournaments for Forrest where he's been showing up, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, I can't really remember the last tournament where he was like the guy.
It has been a long time. I mean, I feel like it's been a long time for him, and he's also, I think, just on his last lifeline at this point. And I think if they were to make a move with Get Right, they would probably move Forrest also. I just feel like they'll need a new dynamic at some point. But yeah, I mean
Get Right's been just... they won first at IAM Oakland back in November, but I can't really remember the individual performances. And if Get Right, you know, when they beat FaZe in there, I can't remember how their individual performance worked out, but that's even insane thinking it was just back in, you know, mid-November when they beat FaZe, and, you know, that was the upswing and it all was looking good, and then just how quickly things changed.
He's been under a 1.0 rating in most of his games. Okay. I mean, looking at his match history right now, just, I mean, dating back to really middle of last year, it's not a lot of green on here. It's, no. You know, it's... primarily, I would say 90%, well, not 90, but let's say even 70% under 1.0 KD, and his overall rating is under 1.0 in most of the game. So it's really been a long time for him.
So we'll just, again, it's just, you're really just going to have to wait and see. Because with this tournament, this is the first one with Dennis, right?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't in Star Ladder, were they?
I don't believe so.
So, I mean, this is their first tournament with them. So you kind of, I think you give every team a pass, right? When you're playing your first tournament with the new roster, it's kind of like, all right, you're figuring it out, and then we'll
getting
see.
Warmed up.
Yeah. You kind of get, my system is you kind of get like a four tournament system, right? After four tournaments with that roster, then you can kind of start really judging it. But before then, you kind of always have that asterisk there saying, okay, it's a new roster.
Counter-Strike is better when Nip is good. So hopefully... You know,
yeah,
hopefully
it feels like it's been so long since that's been the case.
I mean, really, what? I would say MLG Columbus 2 years ago was probably the last time that you really looked at NIP as a.
Well, I think they won Oakland last year, right? So like, well, they've won Oakland.
Yeah, but I mean, Cloud Nine.
Still nothing.
I was gonna say Cloud Nine used to always win the iBuyPower Invitational too. Yeah, but,
in the Counter Strike, in terms of Counter Strike dog years, this is like a Cowboys drought. Like, this is starting to get really ridiculous here.
All right, Anoush, we'll turn it around. I'll wear my NIP jersey under my clothes tomorrow. Like, I'll just wear it under my work clothes tomorrow.
It'll probably make you look like you're, like, 20 pounds lighter. I'll be like,
yeah, I know, right?
Thanks, dude.
It's like a garter.
You've been working out,
corset,
Brett?
On a woman.
It's like, damn, right? Yeah, six-pack.
I want to transition. Like, there's really no good segue from imagining Brett with a skin-tight NIP jersey on. So I just want to segue into some Overwatch League talk. Because so Stage 2 happened. Obviously, last week we had Mike Rufail, or Hastro, the owner of Dallas Fuel, on. We talked a lot about Dallas's recent roster moves, right? Picking up Rascal.
AKM. That was the big one. I mean, you'd think Rascal, you know, would be the big one, but AKM's been the talk of the league.
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, I think Rascal was the big one going into Stage 2. But after their performance last week, I mean, you clearly saw AKM was not saying Rascal wasn't a difference maker, right? Dallas went,
no,
they're
no,
on a four-game winning streak, and everyone is doing their part right now. But AKM, man, he makes a difference when he's in there.
Yeah, I mean, if you take away Hollywood on the first game they played against Shanghai, the dude has been the best, like one of the best players in the league. I mean, he's only been playing for two games, you know, for the Fuel, but you can just see it. He's getting the frags that they needed, you know, to kind of, you know, open up and you know, on attack and capture sites. And, you know, he's keeping the healers up by getting the kills. I mean, right now, as it stands, it's like it's AKM and then you pair him with whatever. You know, it's either AKM or Rascal or AKM in effect. He's been that good, like where they have to legitimately start thinking about he's a lock. Like you need him as a DPS because his player pool is so big, and his player pool is consists of the characters, the heroes that need to be played, like Pharah on certain maps, or you know, Soldier to take care of a Pharah on certain maps. Like he's just so important right now.
Well, you see what happened on like Legion Tower last week when they played, you know, LA. It was the one game they didn't have him in, and they lost mainly, in my opinion, again, and it's something Dallas struggled with last week, is they can't handle the Pharah. Or at least when AKM was out on Legion Tower, dude, you're right. The Pharah won Gladiators that map. I don't know what it is about Dallas that can't coordinate to shoot at the Pharah at the same time. I don't know if it's because when Effect is playing, he is so focused in on playing Tracer, which isn't the best anti-Pharah out there, right? You got it.
No, definitely not. You put no range. Like, you don't have the range.
An AKM on 76 is ridiculous. Like, after 1 week of Stage 2, he has my medal for best 76 in the league.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, he's a smart 76, too. Like, you know, you would see these signs in Stage 1 where Dallas, you know, they would get a kill. They would get two kills, three kills, but they die easy. You know, they'll get those two picks, but then they'll die. You know, they'll get traded out. AKM is so smart, especially when he plays 72, a mobile DPS hero, where, you know, he'll get those picks, get out of the way, heal up, you know, and then get back into the fight. You know, he's not chasing kills. So, I mean, like I said, he should most definitely be a lock going forward. Like, there's no way he should not be paired with, you know, somebody. And you can see Rascal in effect out there, especially with the current meta on, you know, like on defense, where, you know, you have a Sombra. You know, that's like the big thing right now in Stage 2. You play a Sombra and one healer. So, I mean, you could still see them all three out there, but AKM needs to be a lock. Like, they don't need to take him.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you. I remember in Legion Tower, I don't want to gloat here, Nuge, but we were at the watching party last week at main event, and they were playing Legion Tower, and I was like, man, they just need to put Rascal and AKM back in. And sure enough, what did they do? They put Rascal and AKM back in, and they won the next two maps single-handedly.
I'm based off of Tim's recommendation.
I'm based off what I think it was. So Mike was there. I think he heard me. He probably overheard me say it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, right. Wow, okay, well, I mean, this kid knows what he's doing. He just did a show with me, so let me make a phone call. Yeah.
Just make the call. You see him, like, tap the wrist.
Like he has Kai Kai's number on speed dial. All right, boom.
What did y'all think of XQC's return?
It was awesome. Like, he's the tank that they need. Like, too many times in stage one, the tank. What are you talking? What?
Okay.
Did I not?
No, I thought you said something else.
No. What do you think I said?
I think I know.
he's the hero that this team needs.
There you go.
But in stage one, you saw this with Coco, and I hate to pick on Coco. You know, he's a steam player, really good. But I mean, he died too much as a Winston. You know, he died too much as an Orisa. You know, he wasn't smart with his ults. He didn't really use his bubble well. But XQC does. Like, he grinds out those matches on those important tanks right now, that dive-heavy comp, you know. And he looked amazing. Like, he was getting the kills and, you know, staying upright.
Yeah, but my thing is here, right, it's easy to say this when they go 2-0, right, and they're on a four-game winning streak and everything's great. My fear, and you, I mean, albeit he didn't play a whole lot in Season 1 with this suspension, but... Mm-hmm. It happened in Season 1 where it's almost like he carries over tendencies from when he streams, where he plays a Winston and it's almost like he gets blood in his eyes or something. Like, he wants the kill, or he wants to play super aggressive, and he'll overextend and then just get picked off because he wants to get that kill. That's what it looks like to me. Yeah. And in Season 1, he kept doing that, and it kept destroying any type of dive comp that they could pull off. Well, now in Season 2, again, just, you know, two matches, so it's a small sample size, but he wasn't doing that. Him and Mickey were working really well, I thought.
No, yeah, I mean, they were working that dive comp like a madman. But I mean, it's, and you're right, you know, let's wait until they lose one. You know, they're playing Seoul Dynasty today. If they lose, let's see how he reacts to that.
Playing
them
right now.
Like, if they have a rough first map, you know, map two, is he going to be tilted? You know, or is he going to be able to calm himself and, you know, just regroup? So, I mean, you're right. You know, I'm excited. You know, over the first two matches, they won games they were supposed to win against teams that aren't as good. But more to your point, let's see what he does when he faces some adversity.
And it looks good now because, you know, they're pretty much bumped themselves back up to, you know, middle of the standings. They're what, 5-7 now?
5-7. Okay. Yeah. After starting like 0-7.
Right. That's good. That puts you in ninth, which is pretty much, you know, one game win. You know, you win against Seoul today and all of a sudden you're going to be pretty much middle of the table. So they have.
And talk about the confidence that would give them too, though, to get this win, you know?
Yeah, I think that will help. The issue, though, is here now, you're on this four-game winning streak, your confidence is high, and then you have to play Seoul today. Now, this is a rematch of the very first game ever for Overwatch League, where Dallas took map one against Seoul, and everyone thought, easy peasy, boys.
There we go.
I told you, number one in the league right here, Dallas Fuel. And then they went to go lose the next three maps and then lost like for the next 3 weeks. So
I mean, this is a dynasty team too that's gotten better as well, you know, adding a veteran player in Jaehong on Zenyatta, one of the most important heroes in the game right now. So, I mean, their task is not easy. Like, it's even harder than it was in stage one, but I'm interested to see what happens, you know, how they look. Even if they lose, like, how did they lose, you know?
Yeah. I guess to comment on the how they lose, I mean, it's all good, but you really got to win, right? Like, even if you lose.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, like I said, even last time, right? You did take a map against Seoul last stage, and yeah, that would have looked good had you not pretty much sucked the majority of that stage, right? So I mean, they could lose, you know, 3-2 in overtime, and it won't really mean much at the end of the day, if they just,
I mean, yeah, from a statistics standing standpoint, but I mean, from a confidence standpoint, I mean, Dynasty, they're still one of the best teams in the league. And in, you know, if you take them to a fifth map, you know, that's something you can build off of. I mean, it's early in the stage.
Well, kind of to Brett's point, even if they do lose this game, it's all going to be about how they bounce back. Last time they lost, like Kill said, last time they lost to them, it didn't go so well. And part of that could have been, part of that could have been is, hey, it was the first game. You're like 500,000 viewers. You're all feeling good going into the league. Everybody's undefeated. You've been touted as a top three team, you know, since the moment you formed this lineup. And then you go out and get spanked in that first matchup, and you know everybody's watching. And so part of that could have been, you know, it just fell from there. Then you had the XQC incident, like nothing just seemed to go right. So hopefully they find a little consistency. But even if they lose this game to Seoul, I want to see how they come and bounce back, you know, in that next game.
Yeah, that's going to be the tell. What?
So it's a long season.
LA Valiant on Friday. Okay, I was just seeing who they were playing.
I mean, that's
later in the week.
That's two of the best teams. I mean, Seoul, they 4-0'd Valiant in, you know, the first week of stage one. But I mean, LA Valiant, they're, you know, top three or four team in the league. So this is going to be a good test week, you know, to see where they're at, you know, if they've really turned that corner and they're ready to compete, you know.
It seems like every roster move, and I include XQC coming back as a roster move, is really paying off for Dallas right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it too little, too late? Are the, you know, we're still very early on into the season. I'm kind of curious to see, though, if XQC all of a sudden goes back to his old ways, if they start winning more, right? Kind of see what happens there. In other roster moves that seem to not play any part, Shanghai, they ended up signing that Grill. We haven't even seen her.
Yeah, we haven't seen her, you know.
I don't understand.
I was really excited.
What was the point of roster moves if Shanghai is still going to go winless? Is there a chance they don't win a single match?
No, honestly, I think they've gotten to the point where they're good enough to maybe beat a team like the Gladiators, or, you know, get a team like the Mayhem or something like that, where, you know, maybe they can squeak one out, because, you know, they haven't been terrible in stage two, you know, so far. So, I mean, I can see them getting maybe one or two, but, you know, there's a chance. So
look, if the Lions can do it and the Browns can do it,
that's what I'm saying.
Sure as hell believe they'll be able to do it.
Why don't we just get
right.
Let's get this 0-40 out of the way, season one.
Let's just do it. Just go for it.
If that happens, I mean, someone's got to step in and be like, okay, all right. I mean, the novelty of having, you know, a team made majority is Chinese player. I can't talk today. I don't know what's wrong with me, but, you know, maybe they come out and say, all right, you know, let's compete now. Maybe stop pandering to your region, you know?
Yeah, I always wonder how. I mean, I was kind of surprised when they ended up signing, you know, the two Koreans when they did, because it for the longest time, that was Shanghai's issue going into the season, right? Is that they really only went for Chinese players, which just doesn't have the same depth as, you know, every other region in Overwatch.
I mean, you could probably fill like 8 or 9 Korean teams, and then that 10th Korean team would be about on the level of the best Chinese team. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know, you have to expand your roster, expand your region, your outreach to compete in this league.
So we'll see what happens there. Right now, Dallas is playing Seoul. They're tied 2-2 right now on Hanamura. So let's see. Seoul captured both with 6 minutes and 37 seconds left. All right. Good deal, boys.
They need to fix that map.
I will say this, though. Overwatch, Blizzard announced today they have a new hero in Bridget coming, which is going to be a tank support flex hero. So I guess she can do a little bit of both tanking and support.
Like another Roadhog alternative, or?
Well, no. So this is like you are healing your other teammates' support, right? So it's not like self heal. So it's and she's kind of anti dive because she has a ranged stun, similar like Roadhog's hook, right?
Yeah.
But I could see her doing, I mean, hell, I said it last week. Find you a girl that can do both. And that's what she can do. Is so now, like, you see these triple, you know, think of like a triple tank comp, right? Right now, uh-huh. You're missing something when you're running that. And now you have not only a tank, but also a support. So maybe you can now run, I mean, depending on how she heals. I mean, hopefully she can't out-heal like an actual healer, right? Like, I wouldn't put it past Blizzard to do it. I haven't played her yet on the test.
Not until the first nerf.
Yeah.
Right. But surely she cannot out-heal an actual, like, Zenyatta.
I am just excited that they're making another character. That's just cool. Valve can't even give us the stupid MP5, which we've had before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing.
Throwing new characters in. I love it.
They also, yeah. It's another female, which just goes, it just strengthens my theory on Overwatch in general. That they made the game to really fund their secret side project, which is Overwatch porn, which is the only reason why they're releasing a bunch of female characters.
Oh, man.
So, look it up.
I'll do research and get back to you.
I am not the only one out there.
We'll end this segment on a high note.
I am not the only one out there with that theory, and I will die. I will take it to my grave.
Oh, man.
Let's get into some e-news, though, on that note. Oh, what else is there? Really wasn't that busy of a week, though. In Counter-Strike, we mentioned it earlier, Star Series ended their Season 4. Mousesports ended up beating Na'Vi. That is a weird finals. You don't say that much very often anymore. But Mousesports did end up beating Na'Vi for the win there. Team Liquid took third, and FaZe ended up taking fourth.
Dude, Simple was the best player in the world for that period of that tournament.
Dude.
I mean, it was just incredible.
If it weren't for him, Na'Vi would not be top four. Very
simple for Nitro. That's the next move, calling it now.
He's coming back.
Coming back.
I don't remember if we said this on last week's show. I swear this was announced way before. Maybe we just got distracted being on radio. But they did announce, Valve announced the next major. Face It was awarded that, so that will be in London in September. So, you know. Because when I think CSGO esports, I think London.
When I think Tier 2 Counter-Strike, I think London. So, I'm excited for them.
I get
there
it.
Will be
I get
several...
it. They're a major town, but I definitely want to see some juicy memes out there.
You know what? Maybe it's because they didn't want anybody to have a home field advantage. Like, it's a neutral
it's
site.
It's a neutral site. No team's going to be there.
Bardolph still runs Face It, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
but they're
his,
out of
that's his
California.
Baby, and he's based out of... Oh, they're based in California.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure they're in, like, Burbank or something like that. I get it. It's London. It will be neat. All I'm saying, though, is if I have to sit there and listen to Twitch chat every time it's in North America and how awful it is, and how we don't deserve it, I want to see tenfold about it being in London.
I am excited, though, for it to go to London. I think hopefully it can help grow the scene maybe even a little bit over there. Who knows what it does, but I think it's a good location for a big event.
And TCR is officially accepting any sponsors who would like to pay for our trip. In Dota, they had actually their Katowice event last week where Virtus Pro ended up beating VC Gaming 3-1, and Liquid ended up beating Fnatic 2-1 to take third in that event. So there you have it. Brett, as our official PUBG correspondent, you sound really excited to tell us this in our pre-show meeting.
It's not so much excited,
so
just frustrated.
So why don't you update us on PUBG?
Oh, it was a terrible event.
So that's going to do it
for this
center ring.
That's all you need to know. It's bad. Terrible.
It's just dead game. You remember those segments we did where we discussed PUBG maybe being an official esport? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Slam the door.
That will do it, though, for episode 94 of The Center Ring. I do appreciate everyone who listened. If you listened to the whole show, appreciate you even more. If you skipped around, I love you all the same. Again, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. You can hit us up on Discord from there. Got a little email box. You can email us. Let us know what you think of the show. If you have any news, anything like that. We all see those emails. Oh, what else? We will be back next week. We have a very good discussion topic. It's a little different. Not really what we normally do, but it is relating to esports and video games nonetheless. So, as adults, we want to talk about it. More on that, though, next week. That's called a tease for you. And yeah, that's it. Again, follow us up on Twitter at The Center Ring for Brett, for Nuge. I am Tim. We'll see you next time.